This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there, everybody at TFMR. Hey, it's time for another special podcast. You know how we like to do these and introduce you to CEOs, presidents, chairmen of mining companies. We do a lot of precious metals companies, obviously. But if you've been following along for the last year, you know, I've been trying to kind of branch out. You know, we've looked at some uranium companies, and that sure seemed to be working out okay. And then at one point last year, I can't remember who I was talking to, but they told me to take a look at a company called American Lithium. And I want to get into that as well, because obviously the demand for lithium grows. It's a, you know, premier battery metal with, you know, the green economy and all this stuff and all the electric cars and everything else. It just makes sense, but it's hard to find lithium companies. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of them out there. And then you got to find ones that, you know, you can get a hold of and find somebody you can trust and get excited about. So anyway, that's what I have here for you today. This company is called Lithium Chile. I've got the president and CEO, a guy by the name of Steve Cochran, on the line. And we're going to take a few minutes to introduce you to the company. Steve, thanks so much for joining me.
Craig, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
And again, I couldn't be more excited to have found you. I've known Dan Amadouri for a long time. And again, I just thank him for bringing your company to me so that we could learn more about it. For those of you who don't know, I mean, a vast majority of the world's lithium is mined in Chile and Argentina and that part of the world. So that's where you want to be if you want to find it. The price has just been skyrocketing for the obvious reasons, but it's as if institutional investors haven't noticed. I mean, it's like the equities have been completely overlooked. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about your company, where you are to begin with, some of your projects down there in that part of the world, and about your team and your experience too. I'll just let you take it from there.
Well, listen, Craig, thanks. And I think you're doing a wonderful job, because right now it is about educating people about the opportunity. It's really, I think, and it's been referred to as the energy of the future. And so I think people now will hopefully understand better the opportunity in the big picture, but obviously why we think Lithium Chile is so attractive today. But first and foremost, my background is investment banking. I was 36 years working with the microcap, small cap space. And interestingly enough, took this company public back in 2013. It was a Chilean-based gold-silver company at that time. But management, Chilean management, saw the opportunity in 2016, early 2017 in the lithium space. That was the last rally, again, driven by Tesla and the burgeoning electric vehicle market. Lithium ran to about 23,000 U.S. at that time, which was an all-time high. So huge interest in the space. They came to me. I was still on the banking side at that time to find a president. I was so intrigued with the opportunity in indeed Chile that I offered them my services and joined the company as president and CEO in August of 2017. It's been a roller coaster ride since then, as you know. First, we had prices collapsed in the lithium space in late 2018. They bottomed out in the fall of 2020. At 4,500 US per metric ton. And that time it was pointed out to me, and you just mentioned that only 20% of the lithium companies that were trading in 2017 were still trading in the fall of 2020. We were lucky, we were one of them. So things started to turn. The fall of 2020, I think people started to embrace electric mobility, certainly in Asia. The demand caught a lot of people by surprise. And of course, in 2021, we had all the major U.S. automobile manufacturers announce a full lineup of electric vehicles. So the world started to really get on the bandwagon. Demand was far higher than forecast. But more importantly, supply fell short of demand. And so we saw prices start to move in the fall of 2020, and they've never stopped. as of Monday morning, a metric ton of lithium carbonate, which was 4,500 US in September of 2020, was 72,000 US on Monday.
Holy smokes.
And no other commodity has done that. This it's the number one performing commodity globally for the last year. So it's only right that people should be interested, of course, given that kind of performance. You also touched on another very important point, Craig, is the lack of players in the lithium space. And a lot of that was because of the demise of a lot of the companies in 2018, 2019. But it's also been mergers and acquisitions. There's been four pre-production companies, lithium companies in Argentina this year that have been bought out. And those prices have ranged from $500 million to $1.1 billion. So not only there are fewer players to begin with, some of the pre-production companies, companies that had only a resource and no producing facility, have been acquired in the last 6 to 8 months. So that, again, just reinforces the space we are in is the space your investors should be in as well.
And we'll get to the market cap and the financials in a minute, but I mean, you're still like under 100 million US market cap around there.
I think as of today's price, we're trading around 90 million US.
Okay.
The whole sector seen a pullback. Part of that is, I think, the weakness in technology and current global geopolitical events haven't helped. But the interesting thing is the prices, commodity prices haven't let up. They've just hit new highs every week.
Right.
And yet
right.
the sector's probably pulled back somewhere between 20%. So if you're looking at an entry point, these levels are very attractive. Higher commodity prices, yet a lower sector sort of valuation. This is a good time.
My goodness, yes. One of the things we've been talking about on my side all year is the Chinese credit impulse. And they're loosening a policy, which whenever they do that, it runs at least a year and it's a boom for commodities. I can't imagine Chinese demand is going to be letting up for lithium either. And as I mentioned, you're down there in Chile and Argentina, Chile is like half of the global lithium reserve. So this is where you want to be. Maybe we should spend a couple of minutes, just kind of tell us a little bit about the resources that you have down there, the projects you have and where they are and what their status is.
Well, you're absolutely correct. Between Argentina and Chile, they have about 70% of the known lithium reserves in the world. So it's a great place to be. They're also the lowest cost producer in the world. And while that's not a major consideration when your commodity is trading at 70,000, it's a big deal when your commodity is trading at $4,500. So the area of Argentina, Bolivia, and Chile has sometimes been referred to as the Saudi Arabia of lithium, world's largest reserves and lowest cost. It's the right place to be. Now, geopolitically, Chile is the strongest, most stable economy in all South America. So it's a great place to do business. You know, somebody once told me Chile is boring, and boring is good for business. Mm-hmm. Argentina, a little more volatile, but the nice thing about Argentina is the provinces in Argentina control the resource. So provinces in Argentina, Salt in particular, where we're located, is very prolific. They see it as a great resource, a great way to generate revenue provincially. And so they encourage a development in Argentina. So gives us a really special place in South America, because you usually have to go to the big companies, the Albemarles, SQM, Livent, to see companies that have projects in both Chile and Argentina. The fact that we're a junior small cap company with projects in both countries is really unique. In Chile, our projects are exploratory in nature, but we've got 12 of them, high profile, high potential exploration projects that we continue to develop in Chile. And in Argentina, which has really been transformational for us, we took an exploration project and proved in January it's now a resource. Our initial technical 43-101 compliant resource came out late January at 1 million 500,000 metric tons of lithium carbonate equivalent. So overnight, it transformed the Lithium Chile from sort of a wannabe exploration company to now a resource company.
Yeah.
And our goal this year is to continue to drill up. That 1.5 million metric tons came from one hole. Our plan now is to drill three or four more. Our QP, our engineering advisor, has told us that he thinks we can add another million to a million and a half metric tons with each hole. So we have the potential this year to take that resource from a million and a half metric tons to between 6 and 7 million metric tons. That would make us a significant player, not only in Argentina, but globally in the lithium space. And that's already attracting attention from some of the biggest players. So we're encouraged. We think that our market cap has got nowhere to go but up, and we intend to prove it.
Yeah, geez. And this stuff is selling at $70,000 per metric ton at this point.
U.S. real dollars.
US, yeah. So, all right. And again, do you know off the top of your head, Steve, the global demand for lithium? I mean, what is it in metric tons per year? I mean, what is it currently? Do you know?
You know, it's a moving target. I've seen numbers, but the projections for 2020 was global demand was running about 340,000 metric tons annually. And yet global supply was around 315,000
metric tons. And I would imagine there's probably some recycling that gets in there as well, but it's almost kind of like a little silver story in a way, and that, you know, supply deficit and the demand is growing so quickly because of, you know, in lithium, the electronic component, the battery component, that it's hard for supply to keep up. And then it's hard for the existing producer to find new resources. Like you said, I mean, there's a lot of similarity here to what we always talk about. In silver, I would imagine. So you drill it out much like a precious metals company, right? You look at what you pull out, you send it to the assay, and they figure the company, and you get it assayed, and you figure out, and they tell you what it is. I mean, similar process.
You know, we're the lithium exploration and resource development in South America is more like oil and gas. What we have underground in Argentina and Chile are aquifers that are lithium rich. So the beauty of drilling these salars is more like drilling oil and gas properties, where one or two holes can give you a huge measured resource because of the homogeneous nature of these underground aquifers, right? Hmm. Conversely, you have to drill thousands of holes in a hard rock play before you can actually get an indicated or measured resource, right? So the advantages we have is that for a far smaller exploration budget, we can prove up a significant resource. And that really is attractive both from a time standpoint and a cost down.
So what do? You boil off the water and then separate out the lithium from everything else that's in there?
Actually, essentially, yes. And how it's done now in South America is the salt water, you're really drilling a water well. And unlike oil and gas, you're actually hoping you hit salt water because this salt water is rich in a whole array of chemicals, you know, potassium, nitrate, sodium chloride, iodine, magnesium, and of course, lithium. And then the current methodology to produce lithium in South America is you pump this water from underground into large above ground pools, swimming pools, essentially. And then you let Mother Nature do the work again. The area where the lithium triangle is located is blessed with two things, wind and sun. It's very dry, very hot, very windy. So you get natural evaporation, concentration of these lithium salts, and then you send that concentrated fluid to be processed into lithium carbonate. That's the current methodology, but the next big leap in lithium brine production is going to be direct lithium extraction. There are a number of companies globally now that are working on the holy grail of being able to take this liquid from underground, run it through a process, extract just the lithium, and then return the salt water underground. And that has a far lower environmental impact. It's much greener. I mean, lithium is green anyways, it's part of the green revolution. But if you can now find a technology where you can produce it, you know, environmentally friendly, economically, that's the holy grail. And if you've been following the space, Gates has invested in various technologies. Bezos has, Musk has, and we have a partner that thinks they've got a solution, and they're dying. They're shipping their pilot unit to South America as we speak, and they hope to prove that on our recent discovery, they can produce the lithium directly at source, and that would be revolutionary.
Speed up the whole process quite a bit, I would imagine, as well. You're not waiting for Mother Nature to evaporate that water off.
It shaves, you're absolutely right. It shaves about 18 months off of that whole process, right?
And, oh, my goodness.
And from a CapEx standpoint, it's much cheaper as well because you're not building these big ponds and these big producing facilities. Yep. So, yeah, that's an area that the industry is going. The unfortunate part is that nobody's proven it yet commercially, but with the amount of sort of companies in the space, it's only a matter of time.
And getting back to the equity at your company itself, I can't believe that these shares of your company and anybody else in the space haven't taken off. It just seems as if they're totally overlooked. You know, everybody's so worried about the NASDAQ and the markets in general and all these other hot things where if you don't make 50% in a week that people don't want it. It just seems like it's just such an undercovered, underreported, undernoticed opportunity specific to your company. Steve, how are you for cash? Tell us a little bit about your team, because you got to have, you know, you got to have people that know what they're doing down there too, right?
I get that question a lot, and they say, well, what's your competitive advantage? And the first thing I always say is the team. They are really responsible for the success we've had to date. Their skill, their experience, their tenacity, their belief. I couldn't have done it without them. And really in Canada, where we're head office located, there's two of us, myself and my VP corporate development, Michelle DiCecco. We kind of keep the home fires burning, but the guys on the ground, both in Chile and Argentina, are responsible for our success. We have two great geos in Argentina, and we have probably the most experienced lithium expert in all of Argentina, and Jose De Castro. He's been just a superstar in my mind, bringing on a resource under budget, on time, and with zero incidents, either environmentally or safety-wise. I mean, kudos to the team on the ground in Argentina, as well as the guys we have in Chile. They have 25, 26 years experience in the mining sector. The other thing that really is strong from the Chilean side is that we have probably one of the best community relations teams in Chile today. We're one of the only lithium companies, if not the only lithium company in Chile, that's managed to get support and access rights from three indigenous communities, three separate indigenous communities in Chile. And any resource development these days, you know, you have to take into consideration the concerns that the Aboriginal communities have with respect to environment, their rights, their culture, and the fact that we're the only company in Chile today that's successfully in the lithium space, because the Aboriginal communities own the surface rights to these lithium salars, these lithium deposits. So without their support, you're dead in the water.
Right.
And yet we've successfully managed in three separate indigenous communities to get their approval. And I think that's a huge vote of confidence for the team on the ground.
No
so
doubt.
Yeah, team first rate. Two properties we have are I believe second to none. And three, of course, the fact now we in 2021, we were a wannabe exploration company. In January of this year, we really transitioned into a resource company. And that's going to go back to your last comment. People now are going to say, oh God, 70,000, you know, and you got 1.5 million discounted by, I don't care, 200%. All of a sudden you can see that at 80, 81 cents or 82 cents Canadian, 67, I think US, I think we're still.
Yeah, it would seem that way. Balance sheet look okay, Steve?
We have no debt. We have $13.5 million in cash currently. Our second phase project in Argentina that is designed to take us from, you know, 1.4, 1.5 million metric tons to six. We've got a budget of we have a budget of 2 million US, but the drilling budget and the sampling budget and the environmental and the construction came in, and it's just under 800,000 US. So we're in good shape financially, not only to weather what the world has in store for us over the next 2 years, but certainly to complete the projects we've got on the table currently.
All right. Well, now everybody knows how this works. Even though I'd like to go all Eric Sprott on you and buy 19.9% of your company, one, I don't have that level of cash.
Not yet.
Eric does. I always tease him. I think he owns 19.9% now of the entire island of Newfoundland.
You know, Eric can't question his success. And, you know, they're, and you touched on it, you know, he's a precious metals, gold, you know, silver guy. I think a lot of these guys are missing the boat because lithium hasn't drawn the attention it should, but its day is going to come because for all the reasons you mentioned, you know, the electrification of transportation, the electrification of really household garden tools,
and
power tools. I mean, the next 3 to 5 years, I think, are going to be really great time for lithium producers like ourselves, and the fact that you're bringing this to people's attention is going to be great for us.
Well, you know, and like Rick Rule is so excited about uranium. That's all part of what got me excited about uranium a year ago. And, you know, and again, that's all subject, you know, the last thing we need is another Fukushima and all the fun goes out of that balloon too. But again, it's all part of diversification, right? And you want to keep an open mind and see an opportunity. You got to know what to do with it. So thus this podcast, I want to encourage everybody, even though I'm all excited about this, it ain't for everybody, right? You got to do your own due diligence. You've got to assess your risk tolerance, your time horizons, and everything else. You got to look into this. So we'll build a page here that's got some links to your website, the investor presentations, some of the other fact sheets that you can find on the website, but that's the first place to go. We'll put that link right here on this page. And then, of course, you can research the company on your own through the ticker symbols. Up in Canada, this is pretty simple. Just LITH, L-I-T-H. Pretty hard to screw that one up. Yeah. In the U.S., it's L-T-M-C-F. L-T is in Tom, M, C is in Craig, F, which they always tack on there for foreign.
Yeah.
But that's where anybody can go out and just do your own research. And that's obviously the most important part of any successful investment strategy. Steve, it's been great visiting with you. I just one last check before we go. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I can't tell you how much I appreciate, you know, you're bringing the attention of not only lithium in general, but lithium Chile in particular to your audience. And hey, you know, you mentioned Eric Sprott to gold, Rick Rule to uranium. I'd like to think Craig Hemke could be the lithium guru, right?
There you go. For crying out, I like that.
We'll start we need a champion, Craig. Report. The job's open. So listen.
I might as well apply for it, right?
You're shortlisted.
Well, again, and it's so hard not to, you know, anybody can see this going now, how we're going to produce all the power to charge all these batteries, that's a whole other question. And that's where the uranium fits in, I guess. But I mean, this isn't complicated. This isn't, you know, you don't have to be, you know, junior Warren Buffett to see the opportunity here. And so I very much appreciate all this information you shared with us, Steve. And I very much look forward to speaking with you again later on this year, see how things are going and get an update on the company.
I think it's going to be a very exciting year for us. I'd love to keep you posted. I think, you know, we with this recent resource announcement, we've set in motion the wheels that will, you know, people are looking at us now. People are reaching out. Big players are saying, we're really interested. Can you send us an NDA? Can we look at your data? And I say, great. I would like nothing better than to have somebody come in and take this forward and allow me to run podcasts.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Steve, thank you so much. I've just been fascinating And I hope we can keep in touch.
I appreciate your time, Craig, and thanks for reaching out.
And from all of us here at TFMR, thanks for listening. And be sure to check out Lithium Chile.